All right. Well, this song was always in the script from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
93 till Infinity. We knew we were going to have it at the beginning of the movie. But this main title was an ad that we came up with in post because the thought was we wanted to get Allie and Randall as adults on screen right away, mm-hmm. even though the story starts in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with this idea of sort of going back in time, starting in present day and then going back in time with them back to 1996, where we start our movie right here.
I love the how you and I didn't know how I didn't know you were going to do this till we saw a cut of it using the instrumental version of 93 till Infinity, which is just such a cool way to start off.
I just want to shout out our music editor, Ryan, who made that edit work and happen. And then we go into Mike Andrews' score right here. So that was kind of a thing to figure out. Like, how do we get from 93 till Infinity to our movie score? And Mia, who plays young Sasha, just killed this
just incredible
scene, like every single time.
Yeah.
She's so focused and so like dedicated and just with so much care and love, you know?
This is a scene that resonated with a lot of people, the spam,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it's like a little touch. It wasn't in the script. It's just something that we figured felt right. And a lot of people are like had spam in their life.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah. It was, you know, we were like, what would she actually make for herself as a latchkey kid? Also, Clarissa Explains It All
was
a thing that I wanted to get in there.
That's right.
I like the idea of this little girl watching this white family on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was made it feel sort of like lonely a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, she's home anyway by herself.
And real.
And real.
That's how we grew up.
That's it. This is the introduction of young Marcus.
Emerson. These
Emerson.
Two kids are just so incredible.
They were best friends in real life too.
Yeah.
Like inseparable.
So
this
funny.
Is the reveal of he's the boy next door. That's actually my handwriting. Always been
is that
my
really?
That's my handwriting.
That's like a that font.
And
that's amazing.
The San Francisco 1990s. All the stuff at the beginning is all my handwriting.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should sell that handwriting.
Maybe the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Jigay.
The Jigay.
That was very important. Obviously, if you guys have seen the movie, you know, it comes back in a meaningful way at the end. So we really wanted to feature it here. And Susan Park, who plays Judy, has such a small amount of screen time. So we really, I remember talking about her and like who we were mm-hmm. going to cast. We needed somebody who was so warm and dynamic and just has this presence.
Yeah,
I feel like Susan has it.
Yeah, and she was on our show Fresh Off the Boat.
Yes.
And she's always so good.
So good, so funny.
Those paintings are actual paintings that my mom, not that one, not the ones of us. But
inspired by.
Yeah, the other ones are actual paintings that my mom made growing up that we had hanging in our house.
Yeah, it was great. The art department, Rich Toyon and his team.
Yeah, so good.
Put up Randall's mom's paintings and then based on that style, did the paintings of the characters in the movie.
Yeah. And I sent them photos of my home growing up, and so many touches from those photos made it into the
I love it.
Into the home.
They
into,
did such a great job.
Yeah.
This is a cover of Young Americans that we produced for the movie instead of just, you know, David Bowie, who's a legend. But instead of one person singing, we wanted it to be a duet.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, you know, both of their stories. So we have male and female singers, Mike Andrews being being the male singer, our composer. But we thought it was a really special song, and this was in the script, but mm-hmm. we liked making it a duet
mm-hmm.
to kind of reflect the duality of the story.
And here they're getting older.
Here they are.
So
that was
cute.
A great edit. I thought our editor, Lee Haxel, came up with that cut of the slap and
yeah,
the slap.
So great.
It really connects them in their relationship.
This is the band. You notice Lyrics Born is back there.
Yeah.
So Quasar was in the band way back in the day.
Those eagle eye viewers will see mm-hmm. Lyrics Born. And this is Sasha and Marcus. But 2003, so we did a little bit of de-aging.
Oh, yeah, a lot on me.
I mean, mostly on Randall. No, but I think our VFX teams did a great job because we didn't want to go crazy. We just
it's
wanted
incredible.
To,
yeah.
Right. I mean, you're 18.
It's natural.
In 2003, so yeah. Wanted to feel natural. We didn't want it to feel like distracting in any way.
Yeah. It's subtle, but it works. It
yeah.
totally works.
And then this is, you know, what are we, like 5 minutes in? Barely 5 minutes in? Like,
and a death.
And a death.
Of a central character.
I remember people were nervous about that. Like, how are you, you know.
I was.
Were yeah. asking me, like, how are we going to shift tonally back and forth?
Yeah.
And to me, it was never scary because it felt like, that felt like real life to me. Like, you're happy and you're laughing and then suddenly yeah. something sad happens. And
well, I think in an early version of the script, it was just, that whole death was just at the end of the montage.
Yeah.
And then we jump into this scene. Whereas, and I think you came up with the idea of that scene at the wake with
yeah.
and to actually have it be a moment, I think made it work.
Yeah. The coffee yeah. filters moment.
Yeah. As opposed to just like a quick end of a montage.
I think so too. And yeah. I also think that you guys on the pier, which was not scripted, it was
right.
you bantering.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which was also a key moment because you're laughing and then suddenly this thing happens.
Yeah.
That you're not expecting. Oh my God. D'Angelo. Here we go. This is all pure Ally. This is a bit that she, right? Like she pitched and.
Yeah. Did she have an earwig in her? She's listening to the song.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
We had it in her ear. So she could mimic what she thinks the lyrics are. I don't mm-hmm. think she even knows to this day what they are. This was an interesting scene because those braces that she's wearing.
That's right.
We had to pause the action and pop them out.
Yeah, they were not very comfortable. On
no.
Ally.
And certainly for this kissing stuff that's coming up, we couldn't
yeah.
have them in.
That's right.
So every time I had to be like, and freeze.
Take them out
and action. Back again. I really like that, this moment here between you guys. I like that super close shot of Ally.
Yeah.
When she was backing away from camera. I thought the lighting was really nice. Tim Surstret, our DP, I thought lit this in a great way where you can see everything. You can see all the expressions, but it feels natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
this is all, I mean, we didn't know what the car would be like until the moment we were shooting the scene. And just kind of, we didn't know that seat would just like
bam bam.
Yeah, bam bam like that. But what a gift.
What a gift. And this was, I think the direction was just like, okay, you guys have to get somehow from the front to the back.
Yeah.
And these guys were like, okay, let's figure out how it feels the most awkward / natural. We did that window shot of the hands a few times.
Oh, yeah.
We tried like
right.
feet in there.
Yeah.
We tried like crazy extra hands. This is,
great
Randall
moment.
Can't figure out where to put his arm is one of my favorite moments.
A lot of this is improvised.
Mm-hmm. All of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It I think was just in the script was just like, let's go get something to eat
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we were like, let's just play around
I
with
mean,
this.
We played a lot that night.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We have so much footage. I think some of it's in the bloopers maybe.
Yeah.
But even what's in the bloopers is maybe one-tenth of what you guys did. Yeah.
Yeah, we took it places.
Because I think this was also the last thing we shot before the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So this was it. This is our final set. I had two cameras going.
There are mosquitoes everywhere.
Mosquitoes are everywhere. Everyone's getting bitten. So I had these two cameras, and I'm just cutting back and forth. And there's no... If I went one frame further, one of them would start laughing.
Yeah.
So we're using every single... You even see right there, Ally,
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit.
A little bit.
Has a little expression on her mouth. She's about to break.
The Burger King.
Again, Rich in the art department. They made this period correct. They put so much attention to the prices and the burgers,
right.
Like what they would actually have. Like when was the Rodeo King released?
Rodeo King?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't remember that.
It was a lot of research on Burger King corporate culture. This is a great scene. Ally and Randall, to me, were just this is a scene as a director where you just like put the cameras on them and let them really just go back and forth.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun being 18 again and trying to, you know, convey that in the dialogue, you know.
And your body language.
Just the body language and the...
And awkward and, you know, you just lost your virginity.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean.
Yeah.
This scene.
Yeah, this scene was taken from from my real life losing virginity experience. Where afterwards we did it in a car and then we ended up in a McDonald's in real life. And it didn't end in a huge fight like this, but it was really awkward. And the real life version was way more sad, I think, in some ways.
I liked Allie's expression when Randall says, "But she wasn't your mom, was she?" And she sort of blinks and kind of rears back. As if she's been sort of slapped in the face by those words. I thought she did a great job there.
This guy is incredible.
Amazing.
He is so funny.
I remember at our rap party, he karaoke'd a lot, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Karaoke
that's
king.
Right. Who knew?
So, who knew? We didn't know.
Transition to L.A.
And now L.A. So a tiny thing that we did in post that I don't know if anybody noticed or cared about, but we had a little bit of a different of a very light filter on the past stuff, mm-hmm. and then we lost it when we come to present day. So there's a slight like brightening and sharpening of the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a subtle thing, and it's probably just the subconscious thing. But I think for the viewer, it brings you like this.
This is modern day.
Is modern day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tim and Tony Dustin, our colorists, we put like a very very light filter. On the past. We had a whole bit that we cut out here where Allie butchered a chicken.
Notice
remember that?
The Band-Aid on her finger?
Yeah.
It's because she cut herself butchering this chicken.
Both fingers.
Never made it into the movie.
That was one of the first things out. I was like, we don't need this whole chicken bit, do we? Poor Allie was like studying and practicing for months. Trying to butcher a chicken expertly.
She was really nervous about that too.
She lost sleep about it.
Yeah.
She would wake up in the middle of the night like freaking out about this chicken thing she has to do.
The great Michelle Buteau.
Michelle Buteau.
So great.
Well, well, well. Amazing. Mm-hmm. First of all, she's not pregnant. That's a pregnancy mm-hmm. padding.
Mm-hmm.
Looks so real. And just her and Allie's dynamic is just, again, they're so much fun to watch.
I mean, they're friends from mm-hmm. the beginning, and it really shows.
I agree.
DDK.
Here's his entrance. This is Allie experiencing pure joy. We did some takes where he, like, hugs her and lifts her up.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And there's a shot of her just smiling over his shoulder.
Yeah, that photo was being sent all around the crew, just of her in ecstasy.
That's it. Adult woman experiencing pure joy. Was not acting.
Was not acting.
Allie Wong, not Sasha Tran. Operation Smile is a real charity that some friends of mine are very involved with, so we want to give them a shout out. They do great work.
Mm-hmm.
I love that cut.
Great cut, yeah.
You know, just going from like the public persona, I think it says a lot about their relationship,
mm-hmm.
to no one speaking, him on his phone, barely acknowledging her.
Grunting.
Feels very grunting, feels very real.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we did so much work on these background plates.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do, huh? To get that looking real. I mean, that was all shot in a sound stage with green screen in the back.
Yeah, we did some green screen, and then we did some live, and then to like marry the two. Oh,
that's tough.
Brutal. Almost killed us all. This is, Handsome Boy Modeling School.
Yep.
I love that we got that in there.
Shout out to Dan the Automator and Prince Paul.
That's it. Here's Randall, present day Marcus.
Yeah, just dancing.
This was all Randall.
This was all me. No, I did not have a choreographer working with me.
Like this, just pure out of your brain. This is what you felt.
That's what I felt. And the great James Zato.
James, the best.
Yeah, he auditioned over Skype. Correct?
He did.
And, we just knew.
He was
right
amazing.
Away. He was so amazing.
And he also, I think, just did that too.
Yeah, he just did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also didn't have a choreographer.
Did not have a choreographer.
This, to me, is a great example in the script of understanding a dynamic without having to put it in words.
Mm-hmm.
No one's talking about it. You guys are talking about your day. You're just talking about what you got going on. You guys clearly work together, and you're giving him his insulin shot. Like mm-hmm. it just.
And then jump to this dynamic. Look at how far they're sitting apart from
exactly.
each other. They're in their screens.
Tried to make it very intimate in the kitchen to the two people across the room from each other.
And that tracksuit, that's gotten a lot of attention online.
As it should. Lisa Evans, our amazing costume designer.
Yeah, she's the best.
She picked this specifically. I think we sort of matched the living room to the tracksuit.
To the tracksuit.
I mean.
Everything was built around that tracksuit.
I just think it's such a great piece
so
of
perfect.
Clothing for him. I love the way DDK says cashmere. The severed fields of cashmere.
And then this jump was scripted, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was scripted.
Yeah.
We finessed it a little bit, you know, to make it not jarring and make it just seem like she's finishing his sentence. This is a small thing, but we had him inhale as if he was going to continue, and then I had her pick
it
up. You know?
Oh, yeah. Such a subtle.
Yeah.
It just adds to the rhythm of it.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too. There was no beat in there, you know.
And those little things, you don't, you know, if you're in it, you don't really notice, but it really helps.
That's it. I mean,
carry
hopefully,
you in.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't notice, and you're just, that's the point, you know, you're not taken out of it by anything.
Allie kills it here.
Oh, my God. I remember shooting this, and we talked through this moment and everything, but you never really know what's going to happen until the cameras roll. And she just, we were all standing at Video Village outside, and we were all got teary watching her.
Yeah. And she was so in her head about some of these dramatic moments, but she just murders it.
She does. She was prepared, and then she just went in and killed it.
When this guy was incredible too. Just a quick, subtle thing, and he's just so real.
That's it. And then his just complete bafflement.
Yeah. He's amazing. So many of these little kind of moments for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
The people we casted are just so good.
I mean, and, you know, Rich D'Elia is our casting director, but also Candace is our Canadian casting person.
Yeah.
And she cast some of these small
just
little
incredible.
Roles. I love this too short song that we put in there.
Yeah, Blow the Whistle.
Blow the Whistle to take us into San Francisco and then cut it at the door slam. I like that edit. I don't even know if people connect it. We were trying to, the quick shot in the dim sum restaurant of young Veronica, like this is her grown up. I don't know if people even know that that's her or not,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we do talk about the piercings.
That's
and
right.
She clearly had a lot of piercings in that early scene, but I don't know if people like actually make the connection.
I don't think so.
I mean, I'm sure some people
maybe,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily this joke stands on its own here. but I remember at some point somebody was like, why don't we just cut that one shot of Veronica as a teenager in the dim sum thing and just make it about the
two.
I was like, well, I'd like to leave it in to set this up, even if some people don't know.
Totally.
You know. This was shot in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But looks exactly like Seacliff. You see the ocean out the window or out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Which when we were scouting was key because this is kind of a long scene here. There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted it to feel real and also interesting. I'm trying to think. I think I had three cameras here because I wanted to run a camera this angle.
With one on Michelle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You let us really go.
Yeah.
You let us go here.
I had one on you, one on Allie, and then one here.
Yeah.
Just to see what I get. You know what I mean? And there's a, quite a few pages here
yeah.
that we had to get through. And oh, such an important, that reaction.
Yeah.
Everyone looking at each other.
Yeah, this was a lot. These scenes with more than two people, it's just a lot of coverage.
It's a lot of coverage. And you also, you know, you want to get like all the subtleties, right? Mm-hmm. Like your discomfort, her awkwardness, her being like, what is he doing here? Veronica's responsible for it. Yeah. You know, like this look, back to here. And then Harry just is oblivious.
Oh, he's so good in this.
Just being like, how old is he? Just asking all the inappropriate questions. We had a lot of alts here.
Oh, the Under Armour and the...
Yeah. Under Armour makes me laugh. I think that was just an alley thing she came up with. These were also a...
set of alts.
It's a bunch of alts here. Yeah. Kale can't hold on forever. That was a scene that was cut out, actually. Do you remember there was a scene between these two where you were walking around the living room taking pictures?
Yes, yes. And that scene, a part of it is in the trailer, correct?
Yeah.
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 That's right. There was another scene where we were kind of finishing the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking her about DDK.
Right.
And what was going on there. And she was trying to justify the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah. We didn't need it.
We didn't need it. Yeah. It's like we get it. Like you were, the scene was supposed to be like you're taking photos and then you're like, we'll be back tomorrow to do the job. And
yeah.
I think we realized pretty quickly you could go straight to this phone call.
Mm-hmm. I love this penguin stuff.
I like too that we just sort of dropped that her fiance is Denise.
Yeah.
You know, and they're having a kid, and that's it.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
That was a Michelle improv. She doesn't know if fiction is the real one or the fake one. Michelle's like, that's actually true. She can never remember which one it is.
Michelle came with so much.
Oh, my God.
There was always a plethora of options
that's
with
her. Comedy tornado.
Yeah. There was another scene here where it came after the scene where we're sitting and eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't need.
I really liked that scene, though, too.
It's a good scene.
I love this phone voice.
Oh, yeah.
That Allie's using. I remember we talked through, like, the levels of it. Like, how crazy is it going to be?
Right,
and
right.
It was like, it should just be pretty subtle, but something that obviously Marcus would notice.
Totally.
That stuff that you're doing right there, like that's all Randall faking it.
Yeah.
There's nothing above
there. I'm just looking at a ceiling. I don't know why it came out sounding like that on my end, but it did. And it made for a nice Count Chocula joke.
That was it. It was found gold on the day. I love this reaction here.
Michelle with the burritos.
Mm-hmm. We talked at length about where she picked up the burritos.
Yes.
There was a lot of discussion about where she would have gone. That's one of...
great moment.
The great, great moments. That's where the scene was that Randall was talking about, where we used to go to the three of these guys eating burritos.
That's right.
And there was a great joke about Panera Bread.
That's
Remember
right.
That?
Yes. Which gets called back later when I come home with Panera.
That's it.
But
we just left that.
Didn't need it.
But he was like, Harry was like, hey, there's a little place off of Gary you should check out called Panera Bread.
Yeah.
She's like, I know that. Yeah,
that's a chain.
It's a chain. Yeah. And he's like, what?
He's like, oh, I'm happy for the Paneras.
Happy for that family, the Paneras.
That was a great joke.
Maybe we can get that scene.
Oh, we got to get that out.
Scene somewhere.
Get that out.
That was a really funny joke. So these are the, Marcus is talking about his bandmates that we haven't seen yet that we're going to meet soon. Tampon joke was added in post. Made us laugh on the day.
The Hello Peril logo. I think I drew up some mock logos and sent them to Rich, I believe. And he came back with some great options based off of that mock drawing. And I just love the logo.
I do too. Yeah. I love that tiger face. So good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a...
Here's a...
cool moment.
This is actually Randall.
That's the old band I was in. Photos from this band that I was actually in way back in the day.
We actually used your... I think we made that website.
Yeah.
So you can click on it. Yeah. There's a real Hello Peril website that... I don't know if it's live.
Oh, that would be so cool.
We should make that a... Yeah, we should make that a real thing. Because we have it. We built it. Because there was more to it where Allie was scrolling through like all these pictures of you, which were real pictures of you back in the day in your old band.
What a sweet picture.
Yeah.
We took a lot of those, and that one was just so perfect.
Of them and the thing, yeah. We had to took a lot of work to figure out the right treatment to put on it, like how it would age, how it would look 20 years, you know, 15 years later. Casey Wilson coming up.
The great.
She... was such a blast, so lovely. She came out just to shoot with us for, I think, 2 days.
Always so funny.
I hear that somebody was saying that Gooby started trending on Google searches. People were like, what is this?
I didn't know what it was until we so we put it in the script. And I was like, I've never heard of Gooby chair.
Yeah, very expensive designer chair.
Just looking for like the word that sounds the strangest in the moment.
Yeah. It's a perfect word.
I like that Casey played it like she knows she's spiraling, like that moment where you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
When you just keep talking. This was fun. We just let these two ladies go back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the first time you meet Sasha's parents in the whole movie.
Yep.
You hear her mom's voice, obviously, on the answering machine in the past, but this is their first moment, which I also like, you know, because they have been sort of, you know, just on a narrative level, like they've been absent from her, her life. And now that they have more time and she doesn't, I think that's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of people talking about sort of the representation of just anyone who has sort of that not close parent relationship and really appreciating, because you don't often see that, I feel like, in films. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You know, trying to sort of, you know, reconcile your past with your present. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're an adult and you've got a lot going on, but you also, like in Sasha's case, have this like low-key resentment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's so real.
It's so real. But it's not in the forefront of your mind every day. You know, it's just like...
just like underlying sort of frustrations at all times that permeates all of those interactions.
That's it. Yeah. Exactly. I just like the mirroring, right,
of
little
spam.
Sasha and the spam, and she's still cooking for herself as an adult.
This song I love.
This is Dakota Jones. Called Have Mercy.
What a great song.
It's such a great band based in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You guys should go to their website.
They are amazing.
They are amazing. They're great live. And it's just such a perfect vibe for this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of Randall, I mean, we're about to go into the scene where you're performing. Can you talk a little bit about like the music and the writing of it?
Well, the band that you're about to see, Hello Peril, was based on this band that I was in out of college, and that photo you see when Sasha's going through the phone is a photo from those days. And I mean, our band in college was really just like this band. I mean, really no different, except we were younger. And so the music, a lot of the actual music that was made for this band was in part based on the sound of that band that I was in, and along with incorporating that Bay Area 90s hip-hop feel. Mm-hmm. And so we hired Dan the Automator, who's a legendary Bay Area hip-hop producer, and he just came with this music that was so fun and so easy to write to. So
And Lyrics Born.
Yeah, Lyrics Born right here. Quasar. He's a
Quasar.
Legendary Bay Area rapper. And Charlene Yee. Yeah.
Karin Soni,
who I've worked with before. And there's lovely people and super funny.
So funny.
And
Karin does not play an instrument, though.
No.
So we had to. He's definitely faking it.
He's faking it. I'm faking it.
You're faking it.
LB is faking it. I think Charlene knows a ton of instruments.
Charlene is musically gifted.
Yeah.
So she's got it. But we caught some great moments that we made work for the band. I think there's one of Karin strumming.
Yeah.
I was like, put that in.
Put that in.
There we go.
That looks like a real strum.
This was great. This was Tim Sirstrett was like, we should, let's start with the black screen and then reveal and come up from behind.
That's a great shot.
I love that shot.
We were trying to figure out the ethnic makeup of the audience and at this show. And I thought of when we used to play in LA, and because our band was predominantly Asian, just Asian people showed up.
That's it.
And that's just real. And that's why a good percentage of this audience is Asian.
Yeah. And it's something that you have to be very specific about
to
the people who are getting the background or whatever. And, they like to go by percentages.
Yeah.
So they're like, what percent of the audience? And you're like,
70%,
65%. And just to make it feel real, authentic. I love the touch Lisa Evans had of putting Allie in a yellow beanie.
Oh, I love it.
In the crowd. It's such a, to me, clear, smart way of picking her out immediately.
Yeah.
Your eye goes to her, even in those wide shots.
We could do one of these of just the wardrobe, like the costumes.
Oh, I know.
Like the costumes are so
like
intentional.
Yeah. This was great. We recorded this so many different ways. We had, one takes where they're performing live and we had the audience react live,
mm-hmm.
one with no audience reaction, doing it live, mm-hmm. once playback.
Lip sync.
Mm-hmm. We just had to cover ourselves for sound. And Randall killed it every single time. That was amazing.
This is fun.
We used to actually introduce Jenny in the club. Do you remember
that's
that?
That's right. There was a clip of Jenny dancing in the
Jenny
club
used to
and blocking
dance
Sasha.
And block Sasha's view.
Yeah.
And then you were like, what was that? But then we realized that after a little while that if you meet her on the street, it's more
surprising. Stronger.
Yeah.
Notice in the background, DJ Qbert, who's back there talking with Dan the Automator, who produced the Hello Peril sound. That's Qbert with the red. Should you see him for a second? He's there, trust me. Rewind.
You don't see
he's
Randall,
there.
So,
there he is.
Oh, okay. All right. for some reason, I was up against it in terms of time this night. And that bar behind Randall with the palm tree neon thing was going to close.
Oh.
And they were like, you got 5 minutes or whatever. We're going to shut the lights off. For some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, those were all, they were open and to the public, right? And people were coming in and out and walking by.
That's it. And then they were going to close when they were going to close. Here's Jenny, Vivian Bang.
Incredible.
I mean, amazing wig. Shout out to Anne, who's in charge of hair. And Naomi, who is in charge of makeup. We worked very hard on this, on the dread look for mm-hmm. her. She put like some bells in there. You could see like little like
mm-hmm.
things in Jenny's hair.
Vivian is an old friend of mine. As is Allie. I mean, I kissed a lot of old friends of mine in this movie.
What a game plan.
I loved in this, I don't know if it was whose choice it was, but Jenny so clearly knows who Allie is.
There's
such an appreciation. And it's sort of like, it kind of tells you that Randall has continued, your character has continued to talk about her all these years. And it's, again, like you were saying before, it's one of those subtle things where you don't have to say that he's been talking about
her,
but you infer it from mm-hmm. that choice.
For sure.
She's like, I kind of didn't believe him. That was in the script, and I really appreciated the I mean, this visual of the food. I really appreciated that that they had written it like that, where it wasn't this like rivalry of
antagonistic.
Like you would think the first thought would be like, oh, hello, you know, like the ex or whatever. But it was very warm, and it speaks to Jenny's character, speaks to Marcus's character. Just Allie trying to fake her way through this meal. I think this is in the bloopers, right, where she couldn't stop laughing.
Yes,
when the plate gets put down.
I mean, that like a 10 takes, just cracking up as soon as that plate comes down.
Just dying. This is one of my favorite bits of improv that Randall did. This is all him. We didn't talk about this beforehand. I was just like, in the two shot, he just started doing this.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm so happy it was, we got it because. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like I didn't, wasn't just on that I was in a two for it, because it, I think it's so much funnier with Vivian right next to you, so you can see like what you're hiding.
Yes, yes. And when she's looking away and when she's looking back.
I'm so happy I was in the two to capture that. This, all these looks, those are like small things that you can't forget, you know, because it really makes the scene.
Was it just terrible in the moment, Randall, or was it just you realized that no one would like this food once you actually got into it?
I didn't expect for her to put those Vienna sausages in my mouth. Like, she just did that on her own.
That's it.
And it became this gift in the scene.
So this is just, so Randall doesn't know this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Vivian decides to do it again. I'm just thanking God I'm in the two shot. You see even like a piece of furikake in your mouth.
Yeah.
See? And you can, I pulled the audio out, but Vivian actually starts laughing.
Oh, she does.
But I pulled it out so you can't tell.
I can't tell.
You're looking at you. This is I love the romantic nature of
this. This was the first scene we shot.
Yeah.
First scene we shot of the movie, right?
This was your guys' first scene.
Oh, our first scene. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Definitely.
Our first scene.
Definitely. This was in our pre-shoot days, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's right. Before official production.
That's right.
We did these scenes.
This was so fun. This is the reveal of, we had to age down the Corolla, right? Because we had two versions of it. We had the 2003 and then the present day. I remember just going back and forth with the team of like, what's too far, what's not far enough.
Mm-hmm. This is perfect. That Corolla.
Yeah.
It was a Corolla that I actually lost my virginity in. So this detail really means a lot to me.
I also wanted to shout out the use of Buena Vista Social Club in that Jenny's dinner scene. Like, that kills me.
I love that.
How many dinner parties have we been all held hostage? Like, so much like knowledge of, I mean, it's an amazing album.
Oh, it's amazing.
But it's like that, that's like the extent of her world music knowledge, you know? Just thought it was perfect for Jenny to play.
Oh, perfect.
This is one of my favorite scenes. I love when they, you know, I think so many people have commented on the chemistry between Allie and Randall.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an easy, it feels lived in, but like electric somehow. This is all them, you know. This is one of those scenes that combines green screen with live action.
Yes.
This is real.
That's real, right?
This is real.
I remember that.
And then this is on the stage.
That, oh, really?
Yeah.
That looks incredible.
And I shot plates.
Yeah.
At the house.
That is some complicated stuff to pull off.
That's all I can look at. Like, trying to remember.
So,
like, no one's kidding.
And the audience just doesn't think about that.
This is on stage. This is on stage. This is on stage.
Yeah.
This is real.
Real.
Real. Stage.
Real.
Real. All right. That's enough of that. I love that joke, too, where you hear Allie saying something. And she's in the mix. We were trying to get the right level for that muffled sound because you don't want to hear what she says.
Right.
But you want to hear she says something. This was just, we just sped up this footage just to sort of give it a sort of dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling, taking us into this scene.
The wardrobe again, just so incredible.
Amazing. Also, Allie's hair.
Yeah.
It just like makes you feel like you feel the two distinct worlds through the aesthetics that are like built into the clothes and the wardrobe and the makeup. It's like when you're in Marcus's world, it feels so different than this like very sleek, polished version that she has.
But both stylish in their own way, you know.
Of course, I would never besmirch Marcus's style. far from it.
Randall's like, but still stylish. Right?
I mean, you're wearing a onesie right now.
I am. Well, but mostly it's just, you know, it's a uniform Netflix makes us whip it on at all times.
Padma was such a great sport. She let us use her likeness for this.
That's cracked me up.
And Kyle Weber, our post supervisor, made that. Put her and DDK in that final shot together.
I love it. I love it. This was something I had in my head. Like, I was like, how is this going to work? Like, because they're communicating over text. How is it going to, you know, you have to, the audience has to read it, you know, and that can be kind of cumbersome. But the way you do it, the way you did it, Notch, it's just so easy.
Oh, good, good. I mean,
must have been so easy. I'm sure it was easy on your side too.
I mean, yeah. No, it. You know, we talked a lot about it, about what's the best way, and is it going to be cumbersome? Is it going to be more like, you know, you've seen a lot of like TV and movies where the bubbles pop up on the screen, and is that the way we want to go? And it just felt wrong for this sort of grounded movie. Mm-hmm. We wanted to keep it. I felt strongly about keeping it on the screen.
Yeah.
And I thought we could just sort of breezily get through it.
Yeah,
this scene is also
fun.
So fun. This was two cameras, one on him, one on him. And these guys just had a blast. They went back and forth.
Just playing.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, you've talked a lot so far about having multiple cameras running. Do you feel like that comes from sort of like a TV sensibility where you have a lot of things happening? Or has it always sort of been the way you've kind of shot?
I prefer it for comedy, you know, because, and I've talked to other comedy directors, I think in TV and movies, who the energy, if you could do it without sacrificing the shot and the aesthetic, the energy of comedy is always better played that way, because when you have two really funny people, you allow them to be funny and you're not worried like, oh no, I'm going to have to, how am I going to recreate this? It just keeps everything fresh and lively. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of doing that whenever you possibly can, because you take advantage of having hilarious people in your movie.
Just playing,
you know.
Cousin Barry, it's great, so real.
And we decided this was like in the East Bay, like her parents had moved. I think Sasha's parents moved to the East Bay. Mm-hmm. This was a fun reveal to me. I like that her earring is stuck in her wig, in her hair. Also, the gentleman with the balloon hat.
Yes.
I placed him there specifically with the fish hat. This is just Michelle riffing.
Oh, gosh, so funny. These moments, will they hug? Nope.
Awkward. This is one thing I wish I was a hair wider, because I could only get the top of her hands, but hopefully no one notices that. Except now they will, because I pointed it out. So
now there's
going to
be
out.
A think piece on that.
Cut that part out. She wanted to be a hair wider. This was this whole sequence was much longer, and we didn't cut out anything big, but we really tried to truncate it and make it as, you know...
Keep it moving.
Sleek as possible. Yeah, keep it moving. Because there was also a first phone call that we wound up cutting out from Brandon.
Yeah.
In the scene where Sasha's parents come to visit her at the restaurant, Brandon called there first.
Yeah, that's right.
And so once we cut that out, this was the only time he calls and everything happens right here.
Yeah, that other scene in the one we cut out, he was in a restaurant in Mumbai, right, or something like that, and he was so funny in that.
He was so. That's another scene.
That's another scene we got to put in. Yeah,
get out there because
put in somewhere.
He had a joke about eating a mango with a family of wild monkeys that he delivered quite perfectly. So it'd be great to get that out. But storytelling wise, I think that this plays really nicely because.
Yeah.
it's all, you know, that sort of let the tension out of it, splitting the phone call into two, whereas mm-hmm. if it's in one,
right.
she doesn't really know what's coming. She doesn't know what to expect. She hasn't heard from him. She's been Facebook stalking him.
Yeah, you're still thinking about Padma and,
Padma
and all that.
And what's going on? And then everything blows up here. And
We got to shout out the goat guy.
I mean.
Another gem.
Candace. He was amazing.
Yeah.
That location was amazing. I found that exact window looking out over the yard.
Perfect.
I needed that for the reveal. This is also, I love this scene.
So good.
This is a real, this is Newtown Bakery mm-hmm. in Vancouver where we shot this scene.
All the workers in this scene were actually, they worked at that restaurant.
They worked at that restaurant. Yeah, we put them in the movie. And at first, she wasn't going to let us shoot there, the owner, because she said that she can make more money staying open. But then she found out it was you and Allie, and she was a fan, so she allowed us. She agreed to lose the money so we could shoot there.
It does feel like this is sort of like the turn of the relationship in the film. You know, it's mm-hmm. like she softens to him in a way that I think then carries through. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great harkening back to their childhood and something they had done together for so long. I mean, I'm in the writing, right? Like how difficult was it to sort of really beat out sort of the evolution and devolution and then sort of regrowth of that relationship in terms of making it feel earned?
Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't that difficult, you know, and I think it's because Allie and I and Galamko, I mean, we are all friends, and it felt like a natural place for us to get to, you mm-hmm. know, from where we start in the movie. So all of this, you know, banter is, it kind of comes natural to us.
This.
So funny.
Again, all workers who work there. And I just love
this part, this moment. She's so funny.
It's just sliding it away from her. It's
just the timing of it.
Amazing.
Yeah, and she worked there. And that timing was like perfect.
And she, I remember talking through a translator because her English was only okay, mm-hmm. explaining the joke to her. And she didn't quite understand it. And then she got it and she mm-hmm. laughed so hard and then nailed it like every time. I'm sure she'd been wanting to do that in real life so many times. I'm just like, this is only for you. But yeah, that was a fun scene. That also in that dim sum scene, there's one, I think I only used it one time, but I wanted to get the When Harry Met Sally shot mm-hmm. because we talked about it so much. So across the booth with you guys. And when the first waitress comes and sets the first round of dim sum over, we go to that shot. Just the small
that cat's
homage.
Deli. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
People are, I mean, obsessed doesn't even feel like the right word for the reaction to this film. What has it been like in the month since the movie has come out, sort of in the consumer and just public joy that's happening about this movie?
Ooh, it's been crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been 3 weeks, I think, since...
That's it?
It's June 21st, right? We came out May 31st. Yeah, like 3 weeks.
Yeah. So... A lot of just madness happening over this movie in just 3 weeks.
I mean, Randall, you can speak to this more. I mean, you're like...
Yeah, I mean, the response has been overwhelming and not surprising. I mean, we felt good about it going into it, but just the fervor over it has been really nice. Just it's been so positive and loving and
satisfying because we love the movie and we were proud of it, and you know, that's all you can hope for, and you put it out there and you're like, we hope people feel as good as we do about it. But then to get like this kind of response.
Yeah, to get like fan art. Like a lot of fan art.
Think pieces.
And
like, I mean, just.
The Smithsonian reaching out.
The Smithsonian.
To like put costumes in
the museum.
Is
that a record? Is 3 weeks a record for the Smithsonian?
Let's just decide yes. Let's decide in this moment that yes, it is. And I mean.
That is wild.
And we were talking about this before, like merchandise. I mean, people are wearing Hello Peril shirts. And I mean, it's just, it's really connected with so many people on a really deep level.
This was really fun. I love those shots of the mission, by the way, which we got when we were in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We just saw.
This is a very real Bay Area thing, these kind of community poetry night things.
Totally. This was a whole sequence that we wound up trimming down, mm-hmm. but there was a whole spoken word.
Yeah, Boo Boo Cruise.
Boo Boo Cruise.
Yeah, we had a kid come up and perform, and it was a full poem, and he killed it.
Mm-hmm.
He was so great, but we just... It just didn't need to be there.
Yeah. It unfortunately sort of interrupted the dynamic between Marcus and Sasha.
Yeah.
This connection of, you know, you were going to text her and then you didn't. And then she's going to text you and then deletes it. But the Boo Boo Cruise spoken word thing was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the music here, Mike Andrews wrote a piece that connects you guys musically, which I really was happy with.
Mm-hmm.
Now... We shot a version of Keanu where you would see him there, you know, but I, just to cover
there's a lot of discussion about that.
There's a lot of discussion, like, are people going to be confused or whatever? So we shot it, but I always knew we were never going to use that.
Yeah.
Never.
I was so glad you didn't.
Yeah.
It's so fulfilling when we do eventually see him for the first time.
I'm so glad. This was a fun reveal here. With the
dead skin.
The dead skin. It was like a... dried up glue that the makeup department had, and they would just place it on James's face and then he would wipe it all off.
Perfect. This Glenn Close pineapple sandwich is my favorite joke of the movie, and
yes.
That's a very Notch thing, and I was just so thrilled that it's there.
I feel like, whose joke was that? Was that your joke? I don't remember who's
the pineapple sandwich. I thought that was yours.
I don't know. Remember.
I don't know. But it was
that might have been a David Smithyman special.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It might have been.
That sounds like a Smithyman.
That sounds like a Smithyman to me. Don't quote me on that, but I feel like that's a Smithyman. David Smithyman, one of the writers who did Punch Up on our movie, Eric Durbin did Punch Up. But everybody, I mean,
we had so many friends. So many great minds helping us make this movie funny.
This is real. These women who jostle Allie right here are not extras.
Not extras.
They don't care that their cameras are there, that these actors are there. We had huge, like, we had lights.
Yeah.
They were going for the vegetables.
But yeah, they didn't care.
No. And I was so delighted by that we had to put that take in.
Just do one of those catch-all, like, if you're here, you're going to be filmed kind of signs.
Yeah. You know, you have those, like, boards on the sidewalk of just, like, you allow yourself to be.
So good.
And there were a lot of people standing around watching, like, off camera.
I was a little bit nervous about shooting the scene because I knew we didn't have full control of the location. So, you know, I was like, are people going to be staring? Like, is any of this going to be usable? And people were totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
We also enhanced this hickey in post and made it very, like,
bruise-like. It looks perfect.
It's very painful. I love Randall's reactions in this scene. I feel like playing that sort of reeling in the moment, you know, like coming in with this intention and then trying to backtrack is
trying
a difficult
cover.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's so funny. That's in post. We added Maximal.
This was actually shot in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like it, actually, now that you say that. Like, the lines of the walls.
But that's
totally.
A fancy, fancy restaurant.
Jewish Contemporary Museum in San Francisco. Yeah. Tim Sirstrut did the lighting design here. We just wanted, like, blue and pinks and purples to make it just feel very... odd.
Yeah, dreamlike.
And dreamlike.
And this is why.
Here it is. This was...
The way you cut this is so genius.
So good.
Thank you.
The slow-mo, the photo taking, it's just...
And this has since become a meme online of Keanu walking to different songs in slow motion.
How did you end up picking Sail?
I just had it in my head. That was one that I knew. I came into my editor, Lee Haxel's office, and I was like, I think like something like this would be great. So we downloaded it, and we cut it to the song. So it was always
before
this.
You knew that we could get it.
Before I knew that, yeah. So I was like, fingers crossed. Netflix, open up the bank accounts.
Worth it. Worth every penny. Oh, the photo moment, too.
That was great. Yeah. That was great. That was a real photo that we took with Allie's phone on the day. Instead of putting that in post, we did that practical. This is them just riffing. Keanu and Allie.
And they go on. They go on and on. There's so many options for this one.
I think the first version of this went on for like a full minute. It was like just kept going.
Were you surprised at how game he was to do this?
I mean, I knew that he to agree to like do the role. He obviously has a great sense of humor about himself. But I think the way it was so easy for him and Allie and Randall and Vivian to just inhabit this world and just try everything, like, I was so happy.
Yeah, and I mean, this was the last 4 days of production.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were
Those tears were added in post, by the way.
They're amazing.
We did them on the day and you couldn't see because of the crazy lighting, so we had to really
enhance
it.
But we didn't know what, you know, we were all kind of leading up to these Keanu scenes, and it was like, what's it going to be like? And it just turned out so fun. This is all Keanu right here.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he pitched this.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Was it Keanu in the script when you wrote it, or did you just write the TBD super famous person?
He was our original thought, but we didn't know or think that we'd ever get Keanu. So,
yeah.
The fact that we did still blows my mind.
What was it about him that when you guys were writing it, you were sort of like, he's the person for that archetype in this film?
I mean, he's iconic. He's beautiful. And he's mysterious.
Yeah.
And he has, he has this public persona that it's just shrouded in mystery, you know? But we didn't know that he'd be, you know, so willing to kind of play with that persona.
Yeah.
And he would also be, I think, Marcus's worst nightmare.
Totally.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
For sure. There was a whole other thing here where Allie and Keanu start feeding each other the sticks. And these dishes were Nikki Nakayama, our food consultant. She styled them all, and she also, like, pitched them.
Yeah.
Because we went through the script with her just on a food level, and we're like, what's in every scene? Mm-hmm. And she got to really have fun with these dishes because it's sort of sending up that foodie culture in a way, you know?
Absolutely.
This is ridiculous.
This monochrome plate, the flavor of Caesar salad.
I just... When it gets to this, oh my God, the hearing the animal dying as you're eating it is one of the most insanely brilliant things I've ever heard of. I can't.
That was Nikki. She was like, you know, I think this would be funny. And I'm like, yep, this would definitely be funny. And Becky Sullivan and our whole sound team really designed this in a great way where you only hear the silverware, the chewing. Mm-hmm. And we have one quiet little moo when we cut to Allie. And that's the only time you hear the animal.
Because she's gleefully eating it.
Unbothered.
Yeah.
And then this was Keanu.
That's all Keanu.
He went back to eating after he screamed.
Oh, these bubbles were tough. They were tough.
How do you even begin?
That was our prop master, Brian, who is the guy doing it. And he practiced for months.
Yeah. And on the day, we had to do it so many times before we got one that was, like, perfect.
That's it. There's so much footage of him just trying to do it and not work. I'm like, it's okay. Take your time. Meanwhile, I'm sweating. Keanu's sitting there. I'm like, okay. Let's take your time. We got it. Again, I mean, I feel like I said this so many times, but... Randall, to me, is one of the best reactors, and he's so funny. Look at this. Like, that, to me, is this whole sequence is Marcus's sequence, right? Because you're tracking his clocking of Keanu. You know, he has feelings for Sasha. He, you know, and it's just the way you react to all this stuff is so funny. So real and natural.
Because, again, it's not overstating the point. You know,
That's
it's all nothing is being said and yet everything is being said. I know it's cliche to say that, but that's exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
You learn so much just about his feelings in it, just watching him watch what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the laughs to me are when you cut to him. You know, it's such a hard thing to, it's such a hard line to walk.
Right. To keep it real, but also.
But funny and.
Totally.
You know. This is something, also something nobody cares about, but the champagne in that scene looked completely white because of the color on the table. There was lights on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to color that in post.
In post. Gosh, these little things.
I know you'd never.
Because it looked like they were drinking water. It looked like a prop mistake. Mm-hmm. Like someone had poured water in champagne glasses, and I found it distracting. So, anyway. You can cut that out, too.
No, but this is what I'm talking about. It's just like, these are things like no one
can see. See those? Those are all.
You'd never think, you know.
Yeah. Again, the art department just killed this set.
Oh,
I feel like
it's
that
beautiful. Yeah,
those slides change on that wall just very subtly. Our script supervisor Kristen was freaking out. She's like, "What slides are going to change?"
Mm.
She's like, "How am I going to keep track of what slides?" But she handled it like a pro. This was a tracking shot that. It's just all timing.
Yeah.
You know, there's no.
I remember
us
doing that
camera
a few
here.
Times. That was.
Yeah. There's a few times in the movie where it's just one camera and there's mm-hmm. no other option. I actually missed the when the girls are running into the house and putting their shoes
right,
on.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That's another one where they're tracking shot. It's just pushing through. We tried a bunch of different jokes there, landed on that Spanx joke mm-hmm. where she just. Allie just did that in the moment.
The Fairmont.
The Fairmont Hotel. This is our base of production. This is the section of the movie, musically, we were trying to figure out what Keanu would be listening to.
Mm.
And we landed on Alice in Chains for the first song. And then we go into this whole stretch of songs, ending with Collective Soul for the fight.
It really was breathtaking to be there and to see it all.
Yeah.
That was a lot foggier, though, right? Buildings and the. I remember at one point there was a lot
of
fog.
The fog was going through so fast this night that, like, every take was different.
Mm-hmm.
So, really was a masterful job from Lee, our editor, to make it feel consistent.
Mm.
Because, you know, like the next take of that, those buildings would be completely obscured.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's all just Randall, just trying to mimic Keanu. Like that whole runner makes me laugh. Vice Breakers. Yes. I feel like they should make a Vice Breakers, real Vice Breakers board game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is Vice Breaker? I mean, I know it's, but for this particular purpose, like, was it something you guys had played and you thought it would work, or you needed like some sort of, you know, Deus Ex Machina to get to?
Yeah, it was really just the device.
Yeah.
But we figured Keanu wouldn't want to play just Truth or Dare. He'd play his version of Truth or Dare.
This I liked because we lose everybody else in the scene for this back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're the only two people in the room until we go to Keanu board. His head already back. But I thought this connection was important to play in singles.
Mm-hmm. Look at him.
So at some point during that, he was like, ugh, his head back. Like, when are these two going to end?
And then this is when it starts to get so antagonistic
yeah.
on his part, too.
Yeah.
That's where I think Keanu starts to get,
yeah,
like he
knows.
He feels something's up. We went back to that overhead shot. That's how we were just passing the time. So now it's later.
Mm-hmm.
Something's happened
here. Clearly it's gone on.
To Marcus.
And Keanu's wearing his glasses
Keanu's
now.
Keanu's got his glasses back. People are drunker. Drunkest they've been. This was all, like, these names and everything, this was all from the script.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Wilder. Even her paw tattoos on Jenny.
Yeah, that's right.
From
that was
Eve
scripted.
The rapper.
Yeah.
And in the script, in the action line, it said from another time in her life.
That's right.
Like a remnant from another time.
Yes,
in her
life. Yes, right. That's right. When she was super into into hardcore hip hop.
Yeah. She's had many faces.
Yeah.
A man has many faces. And I like that too. Like that feels real to me that Sasha tries to intervene. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, it's just a game. Like, let's just, mm-hmm. as opposed to kind of just going along,
right.
you know.
Oh, Keanu's so great here. That right there. That he's like pranking.
He's like, come on, let's go. That was so funny to me. She chimes in, I'd kill Marcus.
Yeah. I love that cut back that she says it, cut back to Keanu laughing. It's like a lot of so much stuff going on.
Again, Lee Haxel is a brilliant editor. She really, this is one of my favorite things.
That's
good. I made sure to put that in because it's so awkward and you're not used to seeing Keanu like have to shimmy like that, you know? But again, Lee Haxel is an amazing editor. I'm so happy with this whole sequence. This we did twice. We had the breakaway glass or whatever. Just that intense look from him. I love the way he played that. He gave us a lot of different levels, but his the intensity of... Mm. You see that, Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
she's
remember.
So excited. Just and Jenny watching
Jenny's
it, like
so excited.
Just getting very into
That's
what's happening.
It. It's the... She's like,
she wants him to fight.
Just like the last person you'd expect.
Yeah,
wants to see you fight. And that Henry stuff was.
Oh, yeah.
On the day.
That's right.
Keanu actually forgot. He said Henry.
Is that true?
Yeah, instead of Marcus at one point in the earlier scene.
At dinner.
Called it back. Yeah.
That's amazing.
This is all Keanu.
Just... Great. He did that during rehearsal. And then when we shot the first take, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And we were like, I think we should go back.
Do
to
that.
It. And he was like, oh, you think so? And then he did it again. The crew burst out laughing.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, that's it.
And he just kind of quietly disappears.
Yeah,
I love that.
He just goes to call an Uber.
This Leonardo DiCaprio line is also exceptional.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, I'm so glad. That was, that was Eric Durbin, one of our friends who was there on set. We had a bunch of different, we had a few different celebrity jokes here.
Yeah.
It's just pretty. He's
she goes off. That's the last you see of Jenny. But there was that other scene that was supposed to end their relationship that hopefully we'll see the light of day.
For sure.
Well, I mean, yeah. What is that scene that sort of you had to cut out with Jenny?
That scene will come after these guys hook up here. And then it was Marcus's character going to the place where they had the poetry reading and telling her that this is over, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's made all these headshots because she's like wanting to be an actor now.
Keanu told her she should follow her dreams, so she went and had headshots made. And I don't want to give the scene away, but it's so funny.
Yeah.
She blows up at Marcus.
Yeah.
And not for the reason that you think.
Yeah.
Not because he's with Sasha, but for a whole other reason.
Yeah.
This I thought was great. This is Allie and Randall just feeling this moment, and it's really like making it feel real and authentic. I love Allie's performance here.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're scared. And like, again, like this is a testament to these guys, just making it feel grounded and real. Coming out of the heightened of Keanu, I felt like this was really important to kind of bring us back into the relationship that we've been following and that we hopefully care about at this point.
And it kind of mimics that first car kiss, right, when we were teenagers. In that one, she kind of initiates the kiss, and in this one, I initiate it.
That's it.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite bits right here. These guys are so incredible.
I'm so happy this worked out.
Because it's just the idea that Keanu would call them an Uber pool is so, it's just like the icing on top of like that, the animosity he's been feeling all night towards Marcus.
That's it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like we don't see Keanu again, but he resonates that's throughout.
Right.
Like his presence is there. You know?
I mean, like Marcus might have gotten the girl, but he got like that final little blow with the Uber pool. The worst option on purpose. This was amazing to shoot. These guys
was very strange.
We had to really plan that out, choreograph that.
Strange to sort of have that with your friend who you've known.
Yeah, and then also, and also the lifting and walking up these hard steps.
This, I love the, I just want to call out the lighting again by Tim Sarstrad. You know, it looks like moonlight, the blue sheets.
Yeah.
Really compliment their skin tone. You know, I mean, everything, that's the thing about movies, right? It's like everything is thought through. You know, like those sheets aren't just blue because they happen to be blue. It's like we looked at everything. We looked at like what's the most flattering, because this is that moment, right? And what I love about this movie that we did is that this stuff here, when they talk about Keanu in the Uber pool, you would normally, I think, cut it out of a movie. Mm-hmm. But I like that underneath everything, they're friends. Mm-hmm. And they can laugh still. Like, it doesn't mean now that, oh, they're romantically involved. They're not going to joke and laugh. You know, like this stuff right here to me feels, that's, as a viewer, how I invest in a couple. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I want to see, those little kind of found moments. There's one that we have at the end of the movie too, I'll point out.
And but I think it signifies that something's different in the relationship this time. You know, the first time they slept together, it was so awkward afterwards. And here they're so in it with each other and vibing with each other that it tells you as a viewer, like, no, this is actually real now.
Yeah, totally. This is another Randall Dan special.
Allie just playing around.
Yeah, Allie, that's Social Security number. This is Allie. That's a perfect Allie joke, you know, because it's, she's going to mess it up on a different level.
Right.
By like getting your Social Security number, you know. We had a lot of fun stuff here.
Oh,
this is
at
the DeYoung Museum in San Francisco.
Just a quick little boop.
That just made me laugh.
And you see, like, going back to what we were talking about earlier with the clothes, you see Marcus's style not change, but feel more expensive or feel elevated in a way that kind of lets you know they're coming to more of a similar place.
It's very subtle.
Yeah. But it's so smart.
Okay. And this is our, like, sweet, I mean, look at them. I think that's one of the posters, right, that they use.
That's right.
I want to also call out that moment where Allie flashes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was just a joke. Like, no one was intending to use that. Or we hadn't
Her wire was showing, right?
I had to paint them all out.
Oh, yeah.
Because we weren't intending for her to lift her shirt up. So she has, like, wires on. And everything was crazy. But that moment was just so sweet and funny.
Yeah, it's a softening of her character, I think, too, to become that playful in that
kind of moment. And like kind of quickly flash your boyfriend on stage. Like, that's like a nice little moment. Story-wise, that previous scene, to me, really sort of solidified like where Marcus is coming from and where Sasha's coming from and what she's grateful for. He thinks she's home, you know, and then he finds out that that's sort of just temporary.
Yeah.
Allie was worried about shaking the baby here, where I was not worried about it. I was like, I think it's funny. She's like, but the baby.
It's important to think about, you know,
just
in the moment, but you were right, I think.
That baby was having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to get like a bunch of babies for a scene like this?
We had two babies. Yeah,
two. Yeah. But one of them was big.
Yeah.
One of them was like 4 years old.
Listen, sometimes babies are big.
4 year old just swaddled.
And we never explain it.
No, we never explain it. Just like... And Allie looks tiny.
We didn't use those takes.
I love this shot of the gold dress.
So cold that day.
It was a wind tunnel in there. It was good because we got that shot of the dress blowing, but otherwise everyone's freezing.
And I love this juxtaposition of the dinner scene when he's overdressed and now he's sort of like, oh, we get to be cool. And it's like, not at this event.
I love that runner. Just he can't dress in the right level of event.
This guy was also great.
He was great.
So great.
And this is just Randall and him riffing.
Yeah.
How comically large did you want the jacket to be? Like, did you go through a lot of options?
Well, if it was too big, then that would just be too absurd. Right. You know? I think this one is just perfect.
Yeah, because it was good to not see his hands, right? Yeah. Like, but you can't be crazy.
Yeah.
This was shot at like an old theater in Vancouver, I think.
That's right.
But the exterior was San Francisco at the Palace of Fine Arts. And this, you know, I mean, this is our setup for our end, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really important to kind of get him standing there looking awkward.
Because, like, the whole, you know, I think the whole idea of holding someone's purse, I think, says so much about just the power imbalance and sort of the power structure of the relationship in a really sort of immediately understandable way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, it goes back to what we've been saying the whole time, that there's so many amazing moments where you do something with action or behavior that explains so much about the motivation without having to explain the motivation.
That's
And it's so much more interesting that way.
For sure. For sure. And, you know, when you've got such a great cast and all of us are sort of on the same page and we're all dialed in about the story that we're telling, you can find those moments and you can really play them, you know, to the fullest extent of what they're supposed to be in the, you know, to the story.
Yeah. And again, like the costume designer, she just made Allie look so expensive in the entire movie.
Yeah, I mean, looks amazing.
Every necklace, every pair of eyeglasses, every dress, it's just she exudes money, but not in like I'm trying to look ostentatious way. It just tells you that this has been part of her life for so long that these are not even the things she notices anymore.
100%. Like they struck that balance. Lisa struck that balance, her and Allie, with looking expensive, but also feeling real.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not jokey or heightened.
Completely.
You know? Yeah. And by the way, I was, you know, some of the scenes with the glasses, the only time that it was a problem was in that doorway scene earlier when they first reconnect in the present day, because the light was coming in and there was all reflection on her eyes. So I had to adjust things. But other than that, like, it was great. It just was, you know, I was concerned about it in some scenes and it was never an issue. The glasses reflection. So this fight, what we did was we lit the whole area. We lit the bedroom and the bathroom and the dressing room, and then we let these guys find their blocking. You know, we rehearsed it and we were like, what feels natural? I remember, you know, Randall, we were like, when do you want to take the shirt off? When do you want to, wherever it feels natural, you know? And then we kind of just, once they walked through it and got to where she was going to cross and what his action was, then I had the cameras, then I planned the camera work and like make sure everything was covered and they were followed. But I didn't want this to feel staged. You know, I wanted this to feel as real as the words were, you know?
And is this sort of like living in the scene and in the moment, or was this close to sort of how you had written it?
It was pretty close to how we had written it. I mean, I think we might have done it at some different levels, and we kind of settled on this level. It felt right and real.
But that was, that was close to what was written.
Yeah.
And then this was our sort of reverse Romeo and Juliet moment that we always referred to with him on the balcony.
She's so good in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she just feels very real, you know? And
I think there was a take where the driver was standing by the door, right? And he's just like standing by the door while she's giving the speech.
And he was like this older man in the background. And I was like, just okay. Like
blowing a bubble. Like,
I was like, end cut. I have a note. Let me just run in there.
So could you get in the car, please?
So we hid him behind those bushes. First, so you don't see him in the rest of the.
He's just playing with a Rubik's Cube.
There is a take. I'm like, is anyone distracted by this? Let me go adjust this real quick. Again, another great moment for Allie here.
So great.
We're just.
And this was this was shot in the green screen as well, huh?
Correct.
It looks so great.
It looks so real.
Oh, good. So good. Real. We worked very hard on that. And this, you know, this is the moment where we allow both of them to sort of feel the loss and the impact of what just happened. This was a really nice scene to shoot with Michelle and Allie because it was, to me, like a great friendship kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very grounded and...
I mean, it is amazing in a great way that for a romantic comedy, there is absolutely no female conflict in it, you know, which I think is really so cliche and you see all the time. So it's nice, even between Jenny and Sasha, you know, to have such just warmness all the time, I think is such a great message and something we need so much more of.
Mm. Well, and even with Padma, who's not even in the movie, but even with the thing, even when she's mad at her, she's like, calls her beautiful and talented.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she is. So it just feels it feels nice. You don't need that to be the conflict.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
This was always a fun reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And James, I think, was very quite sick on this day.
He was very sick on that day, yeah.
And we got him like, you know, I think vitamin C shots and everything. He did everything. And he just came in like a champ. I love the scene between you and him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you guys really played off each other too. Obviously you and Allie, but I think you and James had a great
For sure. It
dynamic.
Was so fun working with him. You just listen, take him in and you're in it, you know, because he's so good. Look at him. Just so good.
And I was playing with the timing of this, like, do I allow a beat before you lost mom? Or do you roll right into it?
Mm.
And I think that the moment, because you guys did it several ways. You know, you had one where you paused, you had one you rolled into it. And I think ultimately the rolling right in without thinking felt more real.
Real, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like once those floodgates open of something you've been wanting to say for a long time, you can't stop it and it just all comes out.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then just the realness of this moment, you know, between father and son and, you know, talking about the family dynamics and the parental dynamics.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one that feels very special.
Don't be a downer in front of Cassie. Just end it on a little.
That's it. Again, you can have those moments.
Yeah.
And this was a little bit of a finesse.
That's
here.
Right. This was originally in a different order, correct?
This was in a different order.
We moved, rearranged some things, and it just works so much better.
It flows nicely.
Yeah.
After, you know, talking to your dad in the kitchen, kind of like processing while you're drinking, and then to this kind of disaster.
This was our big audition at Southeast.
Mm-hmm. I think Dan the Automator is also in the background of the scene. We placed him. And then this is Randall's butt
there's
moment.
There's my butt.
There's my butt.
I was worried about how that would turn out.
I also like the that pee stream sound effect. That is something that makes me laugh.
That was not actual pee, by the way.
Good to know. It does get into like a precarious angle, though, when you come around to that reverse shot. You're like, what are we about to see?
That's
okay, we're back.
You're like, what movie is this? Yes. Also, I like that Karin just dropped this random thing that he lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a, and then it comes back at the end in like the mid credit sequence too, right?
Yeah. Just like he's, you know, it's that thing where like everyone's the star of their own movie.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Like he's been going through this whole other thing that we've not been following
totally
for a while.
But like discernibly, he's lost no weight from any other time we've seen him in the film.
Not in this, right? Yeah.
No, okay.
So this has been like for years or like, years. You know, he's been on this like health kick. These transitions were fun to shoot, that sort of fade to black and the opening of the curtains and then the boxes, the moving boxes.
Moving on.
Yeah. We had more beats in here that we cut out and just streamlined this wipe right here.
That's great.
If I had to do it again, like if we'd had like a little more time, I would have re-recorded these voice messages. Because when we recorded them, they all sound similar.
Right.
And I wanted them to sound like different messages. So I would have had you like switch locations.
Right, right, right.
You know, because we did it in post, obviously, because the sound quality, like what we're doing now, is better.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly would have had you like be outside. Because, you know, sometimes when you're on the phone, you hear wind.
Yeah.
I would have just switched up the locations of the voice messages. But again, that's just... something that I think about.
But I think you still get it with the beeps. It's sort of denoting
totally.
That, but I completely hear.
It plays. Yeah. It plays. But in my mind, I'm like, if I had like a little more time, I would have redone it in different locations. This, I thought, was a cool moment, like unexpected, because the parents have been sort of, you know, in but out of the movie, and the fact that they come to New York to support her, where you're not expecting it. You think maybe, is it Marcus who showed up?
Right. And that they even had to, like, Google her to find out where she lived, though, you know?
Exactly.
I love the Sasha Tran, the baby joke. It's just so funny.
That's definitely a David Smith.
Yeah.
That was on the day. That was Aaron Westerman's favorite.
Oh, it's a great joke.
Peggy and Raymond, who play Mr. and Mrs. Tran, I thought were really, really great in the scene, and
so heartfelt.
And there was a whole, you know, we shot a lot more of the scene that we wound up not using because it just felt that the way that they expressed love is by going to her restaurant with the proof, you know, and literally pulling out the receipts to show.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah. I love the use of this song here.
Yeah.
Francis and the Lights. Because this was also, we realized that Marcus had never seen Sasha's restaurant. And the way, and Randall did this on the day, and the way he took it all in and kind of smiled like he was very proud. Sort of dictated the way we shot it and edited it. JR,
he's great.
Fantastic. Such attitude.
This middle class, very middle class man. that was done on the day.
That was on the day.
Yeah.
We gave him a bunch of different lines just to play around with.
This is another amazing reveal.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I love how the door and the...
Yeah, so you know where you are. To me personally, I find this moment very, like, emotional. Like, that lands with me.
Yeah.
That she did this and never told him. Yeah. I'm happy that that it plays for other people, because that's always the moment for me.
It's just like, it's like, you now know, like, he's got to really grand gesture it, you know, because it's like, look what she's been doing all along.
Yeah. So sweet.
It. And little D'Angelo callback here.
Michelle's so good.
Yeah. And this was Michelle.
You cute, but you dumb.
And then just a slight push in. It's Randall.
I love that. Tom Ford.
Oh, good. We had subtle sound effects in there. We put subtle, like, slams when you go to Tom Ford and then Suits and Stuff. Just to really drive that home. This guy was great.
Oh, so great. So perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This was, yeah. That we just did on the day, too.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I remember we're trying to figure out how does he see the price.
That's it.
And
it's burning.
It's great. Suits and stuff.
Just everywhere, like so much clearance signage. You come in. 50% off dress pants.
That's great. And you guys are right behind that pole,
we're
right?
Right behind there.
Just sitting right there.
Just off camera. Yeah. And these transition moves. This is Lee, our editor, just bring us into New York.
It's great.
And this is Lizzo and Big Frida, the song. Which I love the way it plays. This was our last night in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
We shot this.
It's right outdoors.
Yeah. There was a lot. Shout out to Matt Rebenkoff, our AD, mm-hmm. our first AD. There was a huge crowd. You have to manage all this stuff. You see the parents in the background, but you don't know it's them. Mm. And then slowly as the speech happens, the crowd starts to stop and grow. Just all the stuff that like you don't really think about and notice, but like is key to building the moment, you know?
I love that, like rhino horn necklace and yes. that white suit.
Mm-hmm.
That white, this outfit is amazing on the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And that suits and stuff suit, man.
Yeah, yes. Not bad for not suits
bad.
And stuff, huh?
Not bad at all.
That we there was a lot of discussion.
A lot of discussion about what Marcus is wearing here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wanted it to feel elevated but not insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean it's a moment, yeah, but it's suits and stuff. So.
That's it. So we wanted him to look handsome and you know appropriate
because right.
also like we were talking about the runner of never being correctly mm-hmm. dressed. Mm-hmm. This is where he is, but also we just made a big deal about suits and stuff. So.
Yeah.
And then Randall just with the speech, I think.
Oh gosh, I was in my head about this while we were doing it, and I at the end I was like, Notch, do you think we got it? Because I don't think I got it. And she was like, we got it.
Yeah.
What were you in your head about just like conveying?
Oh, or? I didn't feel like I did it. I didn't feel like I got it the whole way through. Mm-hmm. I felt like I got it, parts of it. And Notch just, she cut it together in a way that made me look like a good actor.
You got it. You did it.
It's like very classic rom-com-y kisses and
it.
The flashbulbs
yeah.
and the spin.
And
it's
the spin so, and then the swooping down.
It's grand. But I love that this is not where the movie ends.
That's it.
And I think that's what's so incredible about the film is that it knows this actually isn't the full point of the movie in some ways. And so, because you'd think like, oh, credits are rolling now, the movie's over. And then you go to this very sort of like simple scene of the two of them sitting.
Mm-hmm. That's
it. Amazing.
I'm so glad. This is another little like sort of found moment between friends. This mm-hmm. And this was Allie and Randall just as they went up the staircase, but leaving it in the movie of mm-hmm. like to show the sort of friendship and the connection. But yeah, I think especially, you know, like those, the 360 camera move and the swooping down, like that is to set up like this is where your movie ends,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it's not, you know, you keep going. So even like the kind of cinematic language that you're used to kind of being the big ending is not our ending.
Yeah. And it, this is.
Well, no one's expecting what's to come here.
Ugh.
This is a great, this was, these guys wrote this, the storytelling of the reveal of Judy's Way.
Mm-hmm.
And we, of course, talked about like, how do we reveal it? You know, what's the best way to show it? But always this moment was there, and we knew that. I knew that I was like I felt pressure to make sure this landed because it was such a great moment.
It's a moment that like actually knocked me out the first time I saw it because it's so sweet and thoughtful and loving and filled with so much emotion that you've basically just spent the last 2 hours learning about,
mm-hmm.
and it's incredible.
I'm so glad. I think that, again, you know, not just because you're here, Randall, but Randall's acting in this scene is so, to me, incredible because he, you know, Sasha knows, you know, she's the one with the information.
Mm-hmm.
he's learning it in real time. And then just, you know, feeling that right level, like that's the shot that gets people, mm-hmm. you know, because of how real his performance is.
Yeah. And, you know,
and then the joke.
We do that so many times.
That's
yeah.
our thing.
That's what it is. It's like heart, then the joke.
And then the joke. Yeah. And then you let it be. And then this is very sweet. I think Lee, our editor, loved that shot.
The pull out here. That's like so nice.
And then this, you know, visually mirrors Sasha alone when the pull out. And now that she's together, you know, things like that.
No, it's great. And then probably the most expensive thing that happened in this film is this Mariah Carey song.
There it is. We got to get it.
Oh, yeah.
We needed it.
No, it's perfect.
And this, we thought, was a cool way to sort of start the, you know, kind of just jump around with our characters and, you know, start our credit sequence. And
get those sort of like those closing beats again, but again, without it feeling overly like, and here's where this person is, and here's where this, you know, they would all be here for this moment. And
that's it.
And it's lovely.
But not having it not feel stagey. Yeah. So I think cutting away for credits, cutting back makes it feel like we can just do little pops here and there.
Because also, you know, there's that thing where it's like, well, the film ends before the credits starts, and then this all is sort of supplemental, but it all still is things that everyone who just watched this movie stays for and still wants to know.
That's it.
You know?
And, you know, I remember when we were doing it, the thing was like, we have to make sure people don't click out of it.
Right.
Like when that first credit comes up. So for me, it was about the audio underneath. Mm-hmm. Song is playing, there's dialogue still playing. Mm. And then we get right back into it, and then people realize that, oh, there's more to come.
Yeah. That's great. And then you have the... So sweet.
Yeah. And this was another, you know, we thought, you know, we definitely were going to end on the Judy's painting on the wall. But this was a joke, just like that we threw in there that...
Yeah, we didn't know that would end the movie.
We didn't know that there was going to be an original song after Mariah.
Yes.
Yeah, that all came later.
And then we had to figure out how do we get out of Mariah into Hello Peril song. And we did that film strip melting.
And it's great. Well, let's talk about the I Punched Keanu Reeves song. What?
Well, it all came kind of, you know, after we had a cut of the film, and it was... Tendo, one of the executives, I think he had the idea of recording the song, and we all thought it was a great idea, and we, you know, reached out to Dan the Automator for another beat, and it just kind of came together real quickly.
Yeah.
And
well, you wrote all the lyrics.
Wrote the lyrics. I had some of the lyrics done, and then we had to ask Keanu for his permission. Mm-hmm. So I literally recorded the lyrics I had onto another random beat because we didn't have it all ready to go, and sent it all to him, and he was totally into it. And it worked, and it was just a fun way to end the movie.
Well, with that, thank you both so much for coming today and talking through the film with us. Thank you for the film. It's incredible. I got a little emotional again at the Judy's Way scene without even sound, and it's like the fifth time I've seen the movie. So it's those moments that I think, you know, and that's what's really resonating with people, is that it's a story of when you truly care about the people you've just watched. You know, you have that emotional investment, and that's a testament to the work that both of you did and everyone else that we just talked about for the last 2 hours. So thank you so much for handling
this. Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you liked what you just heard, please rate, review us on wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you so much. And join us next time for another episode of Watching With.